Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a terrific Thursday down here in Florida. Lots of things going on as always. We're staying really busy. Got another batch of the magnesium brain food in today. Another huge shipment of them. That product has been very, very popular. So all the orders will be shipping out today. I know few orders were held from yesterday and Tuesday while we were waiting on the next batch in. So all those will be going out today. So we appreciate your patience on those. And you should have them here shortly, probably by Saturday or Monday. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, I'm doing all absolutely wonderful, Austin. It's really nice up here. It's about 72 degrees and it's a little bit rainy. I woke up this morning and I got started on my show for the show today, and so I've got a lot of really good stories that I want to talk about. But the first one I want to start with is that this professor from Trinity College, his professor Johnny Eric Williams, a black professor, shared his thoughts publicly on social media about white people, and he said, he's fed up with the blankety blank self-identified white daily's violence against immigrants, Muslims, and sexually oppressed people. The time is now to confront these inhuman blankety-blanks and end this now. Williams also said it's past time for the radically opposed to do what people who believe themselves to be white will not do, put an end to the vectors of their destructive mythology of whiteness and their white supremacy system. Let them blanking die. The let them die part of the professor referred to the Medium article he shared on Facebook titled Let Them Effing Die. The post says that when the oppressor or bigot needs life-saving help, they should be left to die. It reads, if they're choking in a restaurant, if they are bleeding out in an emergency room, if the ground is crumbling beneath them, if they are in a park and they turn their weapons on each other, do nothing. Lest all of you put your life on the line for theirs and do not dare think doing so, putting your life on the line for theirs, gives you the reason or cause to feel celestial. Saying that the life of those who would kill you is the opposite of virtuous, let them blanking die. And smile a bit when they die, when you do, for you have done a service to the great universe. You know, if a white man wrote this about black people, he would probably be arrested for a hate crime. And he would probably be put in jail and charged. Now, what happened with the blowback from this school was just interesting, because then now today, it comes back in today, it says the campus of Trinity College in Hartford was closed yesterday after receiving threats from people outraged by a professor who shared an inflammatory online posting about what happened with the congressional baseball shootings. Apparently, he wanted them all to die. But the private college is due to reopen on Thursday morning with increased security after determining there was no immediate threat following the posting by Johnny Eric Williams. Williams, who teaches about race and racism, shared on his personal Twitter and Facebook accounts an article published about basically let the whitey die. So, you know, this article, is crazy. I mean, I cannot believe that we're actually having to deal with stuff like this and that they think this is okay as a college professor to be teaching this just absolutely open bigotry. And this isn't even racism. This isn't racism. This isn't bigotry. This is racism. This is racism against white people. Just go ahead and let them die. I mean, and I told you guys this was going on. I told you they want the white people to go away. And quite frankly, this white boy ain't going away. And that's not going to happen. I'm going to continue to sit here and tell the truth of what's happening regardless. And I want to thank you for all the emails and letters that we get that basically talk about how proud you guys are to be out here doing this. And guys, let me tell you something. Austin and I both, when we start talking about stuff like this, we get the emails. I mean, some of them aren't so hot. Some of them aren't so good. And you guys for you guys who send those emails to us, let me just put it to you this way. It isn't working, and we're not going to listen. Because here's the thing that I've learned already, is that you guys, the ones who kick against us and say things about us and do things like this, none of you ever support Health Masters one time. All you do is kick, kick, kick. But you're not one time have we ever gotten a letter in from anybody that we can remember in the recent past or for whatever, Austin, that those people are customers of Health Masters, and they're basically pitching a fit. It's always people that have never spent a dime with Health Masters. They've never put a single penny in the support of the show. And all they want to do is sit around all day, I guess, on their welfare checks, as far as I can tell, and basically listen to alternative radio and just completely and totally get on eBay and be one of those, how would you call this, a keyboard warrior and say things against people that are out there telling the truth. I'm telling you guys, this is what these guys are saying. Now, I'm not saying that all black people are like this, because I certainly don't believe that at all. You guys know me better than that. But what I'm saying is that none of this stuff, none of this extreme racism like this needs to be tolerated by anybody. This is just no good. I mean, David Duke has said some crazy things over the years. Nothing like this. Nothing like this. And so this is just nuts to me that this kind of person is even a professor at a college, and he didn't immediately lose his staff in the position at the school for saying stuff like this. Lawson, that's how I look at it. Remember the guy who wrote the book on about Sandy Hook being a hoax? He was terminated from his position at the college he worked at here in Florida. Terminated, fired. And you know, so here's the thing, guys.
Yeah.
This is so too one-sided. It's unbelievable to me that these guys are allowed to talk about people like this and basically just promote violence and death to the white people. I mean, I've never done anything to this guy. And when he talks like this, it just makes everybody get angry at him for what he did, including having to shut their own college down for the day. Son, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And this is what a lot of these colleges have turned into. And the problem is they continue to promote this type of behavior by and encouraging it by not, you know, basically coming in and saying this is not acceptable. You know, if they, when they don't do anything about it, they're essentially condoning it and they're allowing it to continue to go on. And like you said, I mean, there's been a lot of prominent figures that have made just mild comments, even slip of the tongue where they didn't even mean something and it was taken the wrong way, and they get eviscerated on mainstream media. And then you see stuff like this come out and nobody even wants to address it and be like, oh no, you know, he was just, you know, expressing his, you know, free speech, this and that. Dude, when you start talking about you're wishing death upon people and they should die, there's no longer free speech anymore. That's inciting violent behavior. That's very, very aggressive rhetoric, and that's not something that should be allowed, because when you start talking like that and you start inciting other people to essentially go commit violent crimes, including murder, and let people die, that's not, it doesn't matter what race you are, that is not good for America. That's not good for our cause. That's not good at trying to unify us and bring us closer together. So you're absolutely right about that. I'd also, too, in other news, Russia now has completely canceled talks after U.S. imposes new sanctions over Ukraine conflict. It seems to be that the United States is really, really bent, at least the globalist aspect of it, are completely bent on starting as much aggressive posturing as they can with Russia. Russia's canceled a planned round of talks with the U.S. after new sanctions were imposed this week over Moscow's military intervention in Ukraine. The Deputy Foreign Minister, Sergei Ryabkov, denounced the new sanctions. These sanctions expanded the list of individuals and organizations targeted by the U.S. Treasury as the responsibility of avid Russiaphobes in Congress who were determined to derail U.S.-Russian relations. As a result, Ryabkov said he was canceling meetings with his U.S. counterpart Tom Shannon in St. Pete last week, which was supposed to have been part of a continuing dialogue between Washington and Moscow aimed at reducing irritants and bilateral relations. In response, the State Department expressed regret and said the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, was open to future discussions. Yeah, I'm sure they were. This is something that's continually going on. Now we're filing. We just shot down a Syrian jet because he dropped a bomb too close, supposedly, to Syrian fighters. Supposedly, you know, U.S.-backed Syrian fighters, whatever they want to call it. Then we shoot down a drone that was postured in an aggressive position, they said. Now, and remember, Syria is allies with Russia. Russia's in Syria, invited there to help out Syria, and we're continually stoking the flame. Now, to push it on top, we're filing more sanctions against Russia over the whole Ukraine incident, which we shouldn't even be involved in the first place. Again, trying to constantly start conflicts and wars to keep the military-industrial complex brewed up at full speed. As even Rand Paul said yesterday, I brought up that article, he said, we can't continue to have wars in 50 to 60 countries around the globe and think it's not illegal. This was never what the Constitution was designed to allow us to do. If we were attacked, if there was some type of threat that was imminent and we needed to use force, that's what our military was about. That's what the congressional approval was all about with going to war. But this nonsense, just going into every country we just feel like going into and attacking them and completely destabilizing the entire country, this is not an act of the constitutional law that was brought here by the founding fathers. This is an act of the globalists bent on bringing in the satanic New World Order structure that they're trying to do very, very aggressively now, Dad.
I couldn't have said any better than that, Austin. I mean, right now we're sending troops into the Philippines, and the Philippine president didn't know our troops arrived there. I mean, we're calling combat troops because of what's going on. ISIS is in the Philippines now. Remember, this is the Philippine president who said that Obama was a son of a whore and basically didn't want to meet with him. And the CIA wants to depose him and get him out of the Philippines. And now we're sending, let me just sort of be real direct. We're sending ISIS in and our troops in to fight ISIS to depose him and to cause another civil war in the Philippines to basically take another president out. Now you think, well, we wouldn't do that. Oh gosh, are you kidding me, guys? Read Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the mafia, and the Vatican. And then while you're waiting for that book to come in, or you can get it online tonight for like $10, you can get it as an ebook. You can also watch the video JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. I don't know how to tell you that this thing's got millions and millions of views now. I was one of the first people that ever promoted this. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It's a long video. It's like 3.5 hours. But I tell you what, it's the only video that's that long. It's like watching Gone with the Wind, for heaven's sakes. I watched the entire thing from start to finish in the first sitting because I was so intrigued by it. Then I watched the entire thing again because I was so amazed at the amount of research that he does on this video, including naming the shooter of JFK and naming the people who were involved in the conspiracy. I mean, names, faces, dates, places, everything is fully exposed. Then he talks about the Bush Nazi crime cartel and how they took over the CIA. You need to watch that video. It's that important. But now we're about to start another civil war in the Philippines, apparently, Harris. Awesome. So this is what it is. Oh, by the way, everybody's favorite rapist Bill Cosby is planning a motivational speaking tour now, and I don't even know what this guy's, I don't even know if his brains must not be working anymore. Just days after a mistrial was declared in his sex assault trial, Bill Cosby is planning a motivational speaking tour to warn young athletes and even married men about the dangers of sex crime allegations. Mr. Cosby wants to get back to work, his spokesman Andrew Watts said Wednesday on Good Day Alabama. We're now planning town hall meetings all over the country. We're going to be coming to Birmingham sometime in July to talk to young people because this is bigger than Bill Cosby. Cosby was charged with drugging and sexually assaulting Temple University basketball manager Andrea Costan in 2004, and 60 other women have come forward. Prosecutors have vowed to retry him. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, this guy is so caught up in his own arrogance that he really believes that people... I can tell you what's going to happen. He's going to have women groups booing the holy living yik-yak out of him as soon as he walks on stage. I mean, they're going to be protesting him. They're going to be holding up signs. This man is a serial rapist. He's a serial rapist. He's admitted to it in his doggone settlement hearings that were supposed to be sealed, and the judge opened it back up because of how incredibly horrible the crime was, which the judge should never have done, by the way. That was against Cosby's constitutional right. I'll give Cosby that. But he's an admitted rapist using drugs on women, and now he wants to run around. So either he's stupid as a box of rocks, or he's just saying this just to try to mess with the psyche of the American people, because, quite frankly, he'll never get bail. He'll never be able to get this done on us. What do you think about this?
No, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. He's probably scrounging for money. I'm sure this has cost him a significant amount of money defending himself. I'm sure any attorney that represented him, whatever attorney was that was able to get this on a mistrial, cost him a small fortune, and now he's wanting to get back out there and try and act like he's going to clear his name. As you said, yeah, I don't think this is going to go well at all. I hadn't even heard the news. I really haven't followed much anything with celebrities. I didn't know it was a mistrial. I'm not really sure how you pull that off with like 60 witnesses that have been raped, victims. I don't know how that was done unless he paid somebody off or paid the jurors off. Who knows? But whatever the goal is.
Let me address that real quick. Remember, you have 12 people on a jury. See, jury selection is everything. There are people that come in these big name cases like this who actually screen jury members for the trial. They actually have classes taught on this, and these guys come in and they pick people who are going to be favorable to the demographics of the defendant. Remember, 1 out of 12 jurors can cause a mistrial. One person. Let's say you get one person in there who's been charged with something like Bill Cosby was being charged with, and the guy was found not guilty, but he may or may not been guilty. You get that one person on that jury who's got sympathy for Cosby. No matter what the evidence shows, he's going to say there's a reasonable doubt he didn't rape these 60 women. It doesn't make any difference. And that's all it takes is one person to do this. And you get a really good trial attorney gets in there, starts asking all of these questions to the jury members about this, about, oh, this is Bill Cosby, this is America's dad, you remember Mr. Huxtable, Dr. Huxtable, and all this junk. And they do all of this stuff, and they reframe the entire court case, and they make it about somebody trying to get money from Bill Cosby, not Bill Cosby's, what Bill Cosby did. Because remember, I doubt very seriously that his sworn deposition admitting to doing this was allowed to be used in court. I remember years ago, Rod Parsley's church got sued from a person who was in the nursery, who had a kid in the nursery, and apparently they said a nursery worker had grabbed this kid's arm, and the nursery worker basically put a little bruise on the kid's arm. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but they sued the church. They were not even allowed to depose or to bring the other people who were in the nursery at the time who said it never happened into court. They were not allowed. They were not allowed at all. So if you think you're going to get a legal court system in the United States, you're not. The only thing we have in this country is if you've got a bunch of money, you can pretty much get away with murder. O.J. Simpson proved that. And see, the thing about it is, guys, is that Bill Cosby now has gotten away with he's a serial rapist, and now he wants to do motivational speaking like he used to do when he was on the circuit back in the 90s with me when he was getting paid, I think it was either $100,000 or $150,000 for a 30-minute speech. He thinks he can go back in now and recoup, I guess, some of the losses that he has. This is crazy to me. Anyhow, by the way, the FBI has now quietly banned intravenous vitamin C for cancer treatment. This is some crazy stuff. I'm sure they'll still allow it to be used for like colds or for whatever. I don't know, but they're banning it. I don't know how they're possibly going to do this. It would be this article is by Rourke. It said it would be naive to think that the FDA endeavors to protect the public's health as its primary focus. Indeed, that would be difficult and interest as it better serves its master, its Sabbatean master, I should say, the pharmaceutical industry, who's involved with pharmakia, which the Bible says basically is going to go to hell. So it says the Food and Drug Administration engineered a shortage of intravenous vitamin C, yes they have, as part of an overall attack on natural and non-toxic approaches to healing that compete with prescription drugs. The answer is absolutely yes. The FDA limited the amount of availability of IVC, and the pharmaceutical industry halted production of injectable vitamins and minerals after a 60-minute story about the miraculous recovery of a swine flu patient on life support using vitamin C. So guys, Katie Whalen, she's told me I could talk about this. When she was out there in Colorado working with her medical doctor, she basically, one of the primary things she did to recover from breast cancer was intravenous vitamin C. My buddy Kevin, whose son Paul, recovered from a malignant glial brain tumor that was the size of a baseball they had to remove that still had tentacles in his brain. One of the principal things they did in South Carolina, where Kevin lives, as far as for treatment protocol, was to give him intravenous vitamin C twice a week. It turns into hydrogen peroxide in the system. It massively oxygenates the cells, and when it does that, it kills cancer cells, because cancer cells are anaerobic. They cannot live in the presence of oxygen. So when this vitamin C goes in there and converts to hydrogen peroxide, it like gives all this oxygen in your body, and the cancer cells can't deal with it, and it kills them. It's been proven effective with absolutely no side effects in multiple cancer things and research studies that have been done, and with a whole bunch of anecdotal evidence. So now they're coming in and saying, oh my gosh, not enough people are dying. They're curing themselves with the vitamin C. Oh my God, we got to stop producing it. I don't even know what to say about this. This is why the doctor in Lakeland that we use for vitamin C IVs has been telling us for years now they're drying up the supply. It's getting harder and harder and harder to get vitamin C, and now they're getting compounding pharmacies to put it together. The problem is some of the compounding pharmacies are being busted for this and being told they can't do it anymore. So guys, welcome to George Orwell's, all I got to say. What do you think, son?
That's exactly where it's going, man. It's a totalitarian medical police state. We've seen it coming towards us for the last 15, 20 years. I mean, here was another article that I just saw the other day now. They just done another recent study published in the International Journal of Oncology and revealed that cannabinoids, the active chemical in cannabis, destroys leukemia cells. The scientific community's long established that. Now, when I'm referring to this, guys, they're talking about very, very, very high potent cannabinoids that are actually just basically selected out of this. This is not smoking pot. This doesn't have any effect like that. Most people think you can go smoke pot and kill cancer. That's not the case. You're talking about the CBD oil, the actual cannabinoids they're pulling out of this stuff. They did a really, really in-depth research. Researchers at St. George's University of London studied cancer cells in laboratory. The study revealed that the cannabinoid variants cannabidiol and tetracannabidol eliminated leukemia cells when used alone. The research team also found that combining the two variants resulted in increased treatment potency. In addition, the study revealed that adding these following an initial dose of chemotherapy led to even better outcomes of the blood cancer when combining it with chemotherapy than doing chemotherapy alone, and they used much, much less chemotherapy treatment for a much shorter time with a greater, more effective response at killing the cancer. The current findings also are reflective of a 2013 study we've talked about before, carried out by Dr. Liu, which demonstrated the compounds are potential in combating leukemia. As part of the research, the oncologist tested six cannabinoid variants, either independently or conjunction with one another, against leukemia cells. The researchers found that the compound spurred significant declines in cancer cell viability and simultaneously inhibited all phases of the cell cycle. Now, then you have to start asking yourself, why is cannabis still a Scheduled One? I get a lot of people say it shouldn't be used for recreational use or completely legalized. I got that. I don't have much argument with that. But why is it still a Scheduled One? Does anybody know what Scheduled One classification is? Because I pulled it up right here. Under United States Controlled Substance Act, the following findings are required for drugs to be placed in a Scheduled One category. The drug has an extremely high potential for abuse. Not so with cannabis. The drug or substance has no currently accepted medical use for any treatment in the United States. That's a complete and total lie. There is a lack of accepted safety for use of this drug or other substance under any type of medical supervision. That's total lie on top of that. They're sitting there saying to create, manufacture, distribute, dispense, or possess any Scheduled One substance is illegal for any person in the United States. And they have cannabis under this. Does anybody realize why they keep doing this? According to the ACLU's original analysis, marijuana arrests now account for over half of all drug arrests in the United States. There were roughly 8.5 million cannabis arrests between 2001 and 2010. 88% of those were simply mild possession of cannabis. The number of people arrested for marijuana law violation in 2015 alone, 643,000 people arrested in 1 year. For those arrested for only possession only, 574,000 people arrested in 2015 for only minor possession, not intent to sell, not distribution, not harvesting. Does anybody wonder why we have over 2.3 million people incarcerated in the United States, the highest incarceration rate in the world, and they want to say it has no effective meaning whatsoever as far as medical use? The same thing they're saying about vitamin C now, as soon as they find out that it gets rid of cancer. It has absolutely no viable usage. We need to ban it. Every time the government, the pharmaceutical, the globalists can't control something with their giant monopoly they have on it, the easiest thing for them to do is ban everybody else. If they can't make it work and they can't control it, they just ban it and make it illegal. Everybody's failing to see this giant lie that has been pushed upon us now in the United States, making us think we're free in almost every aspect, when the difference is we have the highest incarcerated country in the world for absolutely no legitimate reason at all, a lot of those being minor drug possession. And I'm not sitting here condoning drug usage whatsoever, but what I'm saying is there are really, really effective tools with cannabinoids and other type of CBD oil, but yet the federal government still demands that it stays a Scheduled One compound. Make it a Scheduled Three. Make it a Scheduled Four like antibiotics if you want to use it under medical supervision only. But doing this whole felony thing and arresting 650,000 people for that, for marijuana in 1 year, this is out of control. But again, it shows you it has nothing to do with the health of the United States. It has nothing to do with protecting people's health or curing cancer. None of that is an even inclement goal. They don't even consider that to be a goal. They consider that to be a threat. Cancer, diabetes, these are all industries. they're not drugs or diseases, in my opinion, with the government and with the globalists. They used it as a tool to keep people constantly locked down, tied in. If you can go in and they say, well, we have some extracts now, some cannabinoid oils you can extract and vitamin C IVs, you can probably knock the cancer out within 2 to 3 months. It'll cost you around $2,000 to $3,000 for the extracts and the vitamin C. Or we can put you on a long and lingering death for the next 5 years on chemotherapy, and it's going to run you about $400,000 to $500,000 to make sure you stay unbelievably sick and feel horrible until you eventually die. Which one do you think the pharmaceutical industry is going to promote? Not the natural approach that's only a few thousand dollars that actually fixes the issue. They're always, every single time, going to pick the one that completes their self-interest, and that's putting you on chemotherapy, radiation, and all types of other toxic drugs to keep you hooked on them and constantly milking you for money until they basically allow you to die. I'm not saying chemotherapy doesn't ever have a place for any reason, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of natural approaches you can go now and get, and they're constantly trying to dwindle those down, Dad, and make sure we don't have access to them anymore, and it's getting quite irritating, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, you said a lot. Number one, the first category about cannabis has the potential for abuse. I agree. I believe that one's true, because I believe a lot of people get addicted to it.
High abuse, meaning it is highly susceptible to abuse, same category as heroin and methamphetamine.
Well, no, that doesn't do that. Now, number two is this, with the vitamin C, the Gerson cancer treatment used leukemia, cured leukemia back in the 30s, using vitamin C IVs, and they said that primarily that leukemia was a vitamin C deficiency, and that if you started using the vitamin C IVs, that the body would heal itself from leukemia. And it seems to have worked very well with the people that have used that type of protocol. I know that, you know, you were talking about the money on the chemotherapy. When I talked to my buddy Kevin, they had given Paul 6 months to live, you know, before he started working with that doctor out in Denver and that one in South Carolina. They'd given him 6 months to live, and they told him basically that it was going to cost $1 million because he didn't have any health insurance. Yep. And then they said that he would be dead in 6 months. But no matter what they did, the end thing was dead. It was either you're going to be dead in 90 days, or you're going to be dead in 6 months. One, you're going to spend $1 million. One, you're basically going to just die, you know, within a few months. So it was crazy. I mean, the choices that boy was given, that he was, I think, 20 or 21 years old then, the choices he was given just absolutely were awful. And you know, that's why they worked with that doctor out in Colorado, and they worked with the doctor there in South Carolina. And by the grace of God, and I believe it was also a huge miracle, he recovered from that. But the thing about this is, guys, is one of the principal things that he used in that whole protocol was vitamin C. And so, you know, it's one of those things that now they can take that away. Because remember, the Financial Times had an article years ago, and they said that one of the primary things that the pharmaceutical industry did was to develop drugs that could be used for years, if not decades, like insulin. Because that way they could keep a person on the hook for years, if not decades, to increase the bottom lines and the profits. And they said they wanted to make cancer a treatable disease that could be like diabetes, in which they could massively increase the profits for their shareholders. This is their goal. Remember, they have a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders to keep and sell as many products as they possibly can as far as drugs to make as much money as they possibly can. And people don't invest in Pfizer and all these big corporations because they don't want to make a return on their investment or get dividends. They do it because they want to get paid back for the investment that they're making. And that's what these guys are all about. These guys are all about the money. They're not about the people. They're not about trying to help people in some cases. Now, some cases, they are. Some cases, you actually have medical personnel that actually care about you. They really do. I can't say it's always not that way, because sometimes it is, and these guys really want to try to help you, and they just don't know any better than the regular chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. And there are a lot of good medical doctors out there who simply are misinformed, because remember, the continuing education of the medical establishment in the United States is being paid for by the drug companies. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. You know, if you have a professional license and you want to maintain that license, every year you've got to take classes to maintain the license. You know, plumbers have to do it, electricians have to do it, nurses have to do it. I had to do it when I was a licensed nutritionist. All of us had to do all of that on an ongoing basis to maintain the licensure, to get the current update of information that you need to have from a nutritional standpoint for me, or from a professional standpoint, no matter what you're doing. These medical doctors, when they go to these classes that they're taking, these continuing education classes, so many hours per year, 95% of them, I'm sure, if not even higher, are paid for by the pharmaceutical industries promoting new drugs. That's how these doctors are trained. So a lot of these guys simply don't know. they don't know about vitamin C IV because they were never taught that in medical school. Because remember, the nutrition class in medical school for medical doctors is an elective in most cases. It's not even required. So when you go to your medical doctor and you say, hey, doc, how should I eat? He has no more idea than a goat on the side of a road, you know, how to get across without getting run over, than he knows how to tell you how not to eat. He has no idea. He just, so that's why they don't want to answer you when you ask them questions like that. Oh, I'm busy. I got another appointment. I got to go. It's not that he doesn't, that he knows the answer. He doesn't, simply doesn't know. And so what you don't, it's like this. If you came to me and you said, I broke my humerus. I broke my humerus, my bone in my upper arm. I broke it. I want you to set it for me. I'm going to say, I'm not trained in that. That's not what I did. That's not what I do. I don't want to be involved with that. You need to go to an emergency room or an orthopedic surgeon, because you have to stay with the specialty. That's why when I was trained basically in naturopathic medicine back in the 80s, you know, that was my field. That's what I did. That's how I, you know, that was my practice as a nutritionist, because you couldn't get licensed in the state of Florida as a naturopath. So that's what I did for years and years and years, and I worked with thousands and thousands of patients. And in the 90s, I closed the clinic down because I was too busy on the seminar circuit. I couldn't do everything. But guys, listen to me. Austin's 100% right. The medical facility, the vast majority of the petrochemical industry is there for one reason only, to make a profit. And remember, they need people arrested for drugs because they've got to fill their prison industrial complex. This is the same thing that was being used in World War II that was financed by the British and the United States, by the way, with the Nazi concentration camps, is that this is slave labor. These are slave labor camps. When a person goes to jail and they've got to work in a factory all day long to produce cheap goods, that's slave labor. They've got to keep enough people coming in who can produce and be productive in these 2.3 million slave labor facilities. Guys, this is no good. And then when they get out, now they're a convicted felon. Now on top of everything else, they got a felony on top of everything else. And now that makes it very difficult for them to get a job and not be put back into that system again and be put back into jail. Now, I'm about to get on a tear here. I don't want to get on a tear. By the way, here's another article that says, surprise, surprise. I don't know who wrote this because I'm looking, I don't see it. Surprise, surprise. Analysts now expect America's soldiers to spend generations in Afghanistan. There you go. Didn't Donald Trump promise us a total withdrawal of American military forces from foolish bases around the globe, or at least a large reduction in the number of soldiers wasting time and resources on a daily basis? Like, I even recall him briefly mentioning departure of South Korea, Japan, and possibly of granting Germany back their sovereignty. By the way, they don't have sovereignty from us. He alluded to 70 years of occupation as being long enough. As for Afghanistan, it should be plainly evident that the only contributions Americans have given the area involve horrid corruption with the puppet regimes and a massive increase in opium and heroin production. The Taliban actually stopped the drug trade on many levels back in the early 2000s, before 2001, and easy tickets to the United States for hordes of barbarian Muslim refugees. But perhaps if we fight for another 30 years or so, we'll at least obtain victory if we just keep hoping and keep dying. Hey, white man, what do you think? This guy says white man. Now, here's what it says. This is by General Petraeus, and it says, Americans may stay on Afghan soil for the long-haul mission that could involve decades of generational struggle, General David Petraeus, ex-commander of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. He goes, the current war in Afghanistan is unlikely to end in the foreseeable future, David Petraeus, who led the U.S. military, told PBS News. Though the retired general argued that we went there for a reason, we stayed for a reason to defeat al-Qaeda following the 9/11 attacks, he hinted that a generational struggle may unfold in the war ravaged country. He finally says, I think we should not approach this as a year-on-year mission, noting that this type of tentativeness gives Afghan leaders the jitters. However, he said, he took a more measured tone, saying, as I said, we're not going to permanently win this. Not going to permanently win that. That means we're going to permanently stay there. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. And I've told you guys this for years on the show now, that this is something that we did to bring the drug trade back up to the levels it needed to be to provide enough heroin to meet the world supply. And now we know that these drugs are also being sent to Pakistan, India, and also to Belgium, and being produced there as real pharmaceutical pills to be sold on the black market in pharmaceutical laboratories with OxyContin and the other ones we've talked about. This is why we have such a pill epidemic. I just talked to some people today up here in North Georgia, and they have a major problem up here with heroin too, just like we do in Central Florida, just like we have in your community if you're listening right now in the United States. This has been planned. This is how they're generating their black ops money. This is what they were taught by Chiang Kai-shek back in the 40s when they needed to fund the black ops and have these guys do whatever they wanted to do without having oversight from Congress. Read the book, Operation Gladio. It'll tell you in detail. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, you're absolutely right. This is pretty wild now, too. I've heard most of the globalist stooges like Zuckerberg and all of them talk about it now. Well, now it looks like Hawaii has become the first state to pass a bill in support of universal basic income. The state also earned the distinction of being the first in the U.S. to formally accept the provisions of the absolutely moronic Paris Climate Agreement after Donald Trump decided to withdraw the nation from it, and now Hawaii is taking the lead in embracing universal basic income. First, it declares that all families in Hawaii are entitled to basic financial security. The second provision establishes a number of government offices to analyze our state's economy and find ways to ensure all families have basic financial security, including an evaluation of different forms of a full or partial universal basic income. Under a UBI program, every citizen is granted a fixed income that's not dependent on their status in life. However, many critics think that the UBI would encourage a more lax attitude about work and argue that funding such a system would be difficult, if not impossible. This is very true. I know Finland has tried this before. They supposedly have had some good results with it. In my opinion, though, trying to do this on a large level not only takes people's incentive away from actually working and pride of work and pride of ownership, it eventually, long-term, makes the citizens very, very lazy. And on top of that, the worst aspect of it, in my opinion, is it makes them very submissive to the state. When you take individuals and you start giving them free money every month from the state, you allow them to basically become dependent on the state, and they become dependent on that money. It's one thing if you have somebody that's on, you know, intermittent assistance, or they're trying to get food stamps for a short period of time because they've lost a job. I completely agree with that. I don't have an issue with basic welfare, especially for short periods of time for people that actually deserve it. This is not that. This is universal basic income, meaning every family in the state of Hawaii will start getting X amount of money, anywhere from $350 to $1,500 a month, depending on how big the family is, regardless if they have a job, regardless if anybody else is working, regardless of how old, you know, certain people are. They're going to get universal basic income. This is the whole basis of socialism, and the issue with this is eventually comes down to a point nobody wants to work. If you allow people to have just enough money to essentially function and get by, you start creating generation after generation that is so fully dependent on the government that they don't work. They have no drive to work. They have no goals. They have no ambition, which in turn, they're completely dependent on the all-powerful state. This is the overall goal of the globalists. This is why they have pushed the welfare model so hard and made it so easy to obtain free benefits from the states and from the federal government, and why we have over 46 million people in the United States now on government assistance. They made it easy intentionally, guys, and now Hawaii just said, we're going to have universal basic income. It sounds great on paper. It sounds like a really cool idea. Who doesn't like free money? But my question is, who pays for all the free money? I understand the Federal Reserve prints it out of thin air and sells it us to basically an interest. I got that. But where is the state planning on getting millions upon millions, if not billions of dollars a year, to give its citizens free money so they can live, especially if the people stop working and you start having not work and you start having people that say, it's easy just to sit at home and collect a check. Why am I going to go to the courthouse? Why am I going to go to the clerk of courts? Why am I going to go to the DMV and work? Why am I going to do my job at the state level? I don't need to. I got free money. I got universal basic income. That's the issue you start running into with this stuff. Then that's something that needs to be addressed, but apparently the globalists are so bent on turning these states into socialist states that they're going to keep pushing for it, and they're pushing for it hard to the point Hawaii has already accepted the bill.
Well, that way you control the people. Once you're buying the food, you get to tell them what you want to do, so that's how it works. But by the way, I wouldn't normally report this story, but I'm going to report it anyhow. And I'm going to give it a disclaimer that I can't vet it, but I'm still going to report it. It deals with the death of Princess Diana, because a lot of you remember that. It's not current news. It's old news. But David Icke, who I don't agree with everything he says, but he's right about 90% of the time. He's done extensive research on the royal family and their bloodlines and the satanic sacrificial networks that they're involved in England. And what's interesting about this group is David Icke comes in and does coliseums full of people now. I mean, he's got a huge, huge following. Now, he's definitely not a Christian, but the only evidence he ever has of Christianity is the Catholic Church. So as far as I'm concerned, that's just not a good example because of what's happened to the Catholic Church and how they've been compromised. So what's interesting about all of this is there's an article here. It says this is by Jay Greenberg, and it says that a dying MI5 or a Secret Service agent of Great Britain has now admitted to killing Princess Diana in a deathbed confession. A dying British intelligence agent has made a series of stunning confessions after being told that he has only a matter of a few weeks to live by doctors, including that he was tasked with the murder of Princess Diana. 80-year-old John Hopkins is a retired MI5 operative who worked as a hitman for the UK government and claims to have carried out 23 assassinations. This is called wet works, by the way, with these guys. And he was said that it came directly from Prince Philip at the Buckingham Palace, that they were told that she had to die because she was divorcing Prince Charles, and that she knew too many secrets. And David Icke said that she knew about the fact that they were drinking blood and a lot of other things that they were involved in these high level satanic ceremonies they do, which we've talked about that repeatedly. Now this guy has come forward and said that he killed her. Now he didn't go into detail on what was used, but I will say this. The area where she was killed inside of that tunnel was a former Druid worship site from ancient England. It was a Druidic worship site, and it took almost 45 minutes for the ambulance to get to her, and apparently that's when they had her killed, waiting for the ambulance, and they didn't allow the paramedics to come in and tend to her until after they had finished doing whatever they did to her. So it's interesting to me that this guy's coming forward now saying, you know, that nobody will be prosecuted because it's the royal family. But I wanted to mention that to you because these guys, it's like the old adage that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When these guys are quote unquote royal and their bloodlines are royal, if they even consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, which some of them do, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do when they run the government and get away with murder. We've seen that now with Podesta. We've seen that with Hillary Clinton. We've seen it with all of these guys. If they're doing what this deep state, this Druidic worship, Sabbatean Kabbalist group want them to do, they can pretty much have all the media shut down and they can pretty much get away with anything, Austin. We've seen it over and over again. What do you think about this?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what's going on. And, you know, we see that this is something that isn't slowing down. They're actually becoming more and more aggressive with this kind of stuff. And I actually just got a article in that went back to what you were talking about earlier with Afghanistan. I wanted to hit on it real quick. And I've talked about this before, and now it keeps coming up more and more that this is like all over the place now. Blacklisted News, a bunch of different places just picked this up today. Afghan opium production is now 40 times higher since U.S. invasion. Since the U.S.-led NATO invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, the production of opium in the country has increased by over 40 times, according to Russia's Federal Drug Control Service, or FSKN. They're saying fueling organized crime, widespread death, and addiction all over the globe. This is something that's insane to me, and if you don't see exactly what's going on with this, then you just are wearing blinders. I mean, you have to literally live in a rock somewhere in a hole out in the desert to not see what's going on. 40 times higher poppy, you know, opium production since we invaded Afghanistan in 2001. That's not coincidence, guys. You can't just say that's just by random chance. Hence why we're sending another 4,000 troops back into Afghanistan. As Dad just said before, we are never going to leave Afghanistan. We will continue to keep troops in Afghanistan. It doesn't matter. It will be indefinite because we saw what happens when we don't have troops over there and the Taliban starts tearing out the opium poppy fields. The opium production goes down. So we will keep troops over there, in my opinion. So it doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody plans, this is going to be something that's continued, Dad. And it's actually quite sad when you know the truth about really why we're staying over there. And it's just kind of ridiculous, actually.
Well, you have to understand something. The Sabbatean Kabbalists, that mafia, and the CIA run the military. And then this is organized crime. The Sabbatean Kabbalist group. This is organized crime. It's the Jewish mafia is what it is. But they're not really Jews. They're they're Satan worshipers, okay? And the crazy thing about this is that these are the guys that run the entire military with the CIA in the United States. In fact, Lord Rothschild has just come out and said finally that his family embraced Zionism and created Israel through the Balfour Declaration. Now, this is by a guy by the name of Cyrenopoulos, and it says the head of the Rothschild banking empire and staunch supporter of Israel, Lord Jacob Rothschild, recently revealed the critical role of his family in securing the Balfour Declaration, which helped pave the way for the creation of Israel. The Balfour Declaration was written in 1917, was the official document from the British Foreign Minister Lord Balfour, addressed to Lord Rothschild, a leader of the Zionist movement in Britain at the time, and Lord Jacob Rothschild's uncle. During a television interview with Rothschild, he revealed new details about the extremely pivotal role his cousin Doretha D. Rothschild played. Rothschild described Doretha, who was in her teens at the time, as devoted to Israel, and said what she did was crucially important. Rothschild wanted to say that Dorothy acted as a conduit between Zionist leader Chaim Weizmann and the British political establishment. Dorothy told Weizmann how to integrate, how to insert himself into British establishment life, which he learned very quickly, according to Rothschild. Now, I'm going to stop for a second. This is nonsense. The teenager's not doing this. She's being coached and being told what to do. Rothschild explained that the manner in which the declaration was procured was extraordinary, and he goes on to say it was the most incredible piece of opportunism, he reasoned. Well, right. Remember what they did to the Palestinians? They killed them by the hundreds of thousands and threw them out. Now it's like locked down like a concentration camp over there. And said that the prime minister and the ministers of the idea of a homeland for the Jews should be allowed to take place. What they did is this. They told the United States, they told them if they did the Balfour Declaration that these Zionists would get the United States into World War I. Bavier's book notes that one of the primary inducements offered to the British leaders to issue the Balfour Declaration was the Zionist claim that they would bring the United States, U.S., into World War I on Britain's side if the British would promise to enable the Zionist colonization of Palestine. Here's the actual Balfour text. This is Dear Lord Rothschild from the Foreign Office in England. I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved to by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view and favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home state for the Jewish people will use their best endeavor to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of the existing non-Jewish communities. Complete lie that happened, by the way, in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours, Arthur James Balfour. Guys, this whole thing caused this massive problem we've got in the Middle East right now. And I'm not saying that God couldn't have done this on his own, but it was orchestrated to the Rothschild group. So to me, all the entire continent of Israel is, or country of Israel, is a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire. Now you have to look at it from a historical standpoint. You say, well, I don't like that. That's okay. It doesn't make any difference if you don't like it. This is how it happened. Now, what's also interesting, and this is by Louis Miranda, it was posted yesterday, Israel and the Palestinian Authority are plunging Gaza into darkness. They've shut the power off to Gaza now. There's millions of people in Gaza, except for a couple hours, three or four hours a day. It says even in the four-star hotels in Gaza, generators are blocked during prolonged power outages. Since last April, the only power plant in the Gaza Strip has been shut down for lack of fuel, so the 2 million inhabitants of the Palestinian Mediterranean enclave that have been provided only 4 hours of energy per day, this is what's going on right now in Gaza and how they're being treated. And they said in the Balfour Declaration they were never going to treat the indigenous population this way. And I know this area of Israel was added through the Seven-Day War back in 67, guys, but all I know is this. This is not how you treat anybody, and human beings have a right to having water and utilities. I mean, it's hot over there in the summertime, and they can't even run the AC systems off. So what do you think about all this?
This is brutal, man. That really is. But what's the wildest part about all of it is that it's completely hush-hush with the media. Nobody talks about this over there, if you notice it. You don't see this brought up on CNN or this other stuff. All they want to do is talk about how, oh, this country is not wanting to bring in more Muslims into it. They've only taken in 200,000 Muslims. They're not doing their fair share. Or the fact that Donald Trump said something that they don't agree with, or some type of other just idiotic news that they want to report on. Nobody wants to bring this up. Why? Because we're controlled by Zionist media. Simple as that. Also, too, the health news today. I want to bring this up. I got this today. This is pretty big. Horizon Milk which makes organic milk, very, very popular stuff. They have it in most health food stores, Publix, all over the place. Be very wary of some of the ones they have on the shelf now. If you've ever seen organic milk saying that it's added DHA omega-3s, beware. It could contain a toxically produced oil derived from GMO corn syrup. This blew my mind today, guys. The Horizon Food Company sells organic milk with DHA omega-3 supported brain health printed on the carton, meaning they add DHA omega-3s. You go, okay, that's good. It's got extra omega-3s for it. It's great for the brain. I love omega-3s. I talk about it all the time. Our cod liver oil is a fantastic product. So it's marketed as a nutritionally enhanced, and the company actually charges a higher price for it. So it sounds like a very positive thing. However, few consumers are aware of what Horizon Food Milk is doing with a strange process that is being used to add this omega-3. The South Carolina factory that makes the omega-3s that are added to this is a five-story tall building with industrial vats growing huge quantities of algae. The tanks are kept warm, and the algae is fed corn syrup. The algae is called Schizotrium, a fast-replicating algae found growing somewhere along the coast of South California, allegedly, where it's naturally grown. And the warm, carefully tended, and sugar-infused condition in the vats, this algae multiplies very quickly. After processing it, it is left being a fishy-tasting corn oil that actually contains omega-3s. The corn syrup, as you guys know, 99.9% of any corn syrup on the market is made from GMO corn. And I would be honestly very, very surprised if you could ever find a high fructose corn syrup that doesn't have GMO corn as the base, manufacturing base of it. Consumers are buying this organic milk and are usually trying very hard to avoid these kinds of ingredients. Most of them I know, you're not spending $5, $6, $7 on a gallon of milk to get GMO ingredients, especially when you're buying organic. Not surprisingly, details about the process used to create these omega-3s are blatantly left off the milk carton labels. In addition to the nasty factor of it, it doesn't sound very organic at all. The next question is obvious. Should a milk infused with factory-produced GMO oil, essentially from corn syrup, be labeled organic? The USDA approved the use of algae oil and similar ingredients as an acceptable additive to organic products in 2007. Of course they did. I'm sure they had some nice kickbacks or at least persuasions on that. 5 years later, the USDA officially admitted it misrepresented federal regulations. However, the organization upheld its decision, stating that it didn't want to disrupt the food market. The organic milk produced by organic grass-fed cows, usually contains much higher omega-3s than non-organic milk, so there's really no need to infuse it with a substance made in the factory. But I wanted to give you guys a heads up on that with Horizon Milk. If it says added DHA to it or added omega-3s, there's a very, very high likely probability after reading this article that it's the algae-based omega-3s that's essentially fed GMO corn syrup, Dad. So I thought that needed to get addressed today.
Your mom hates Horizon Milk. We won't even buy it. We consider it to be just junk. She likes organic Valley instead, as far as if you're going to get a homogenized or a non-homogenized milk, which never buy homogenized milk. Organic is organic Valley is a lot better. By the way, real quick, I want to cover a couple of things. The seven pieces of modern day geopolitical propaganda. Number one, we were in the middle of it. The Syrian war is a civil war. That's not true at all. We've covered it in details about getting a Qatar pipeline through Syria. And plus the U.S. wants them overthrown. The U.S. is fighting ISIS in Syria. That's complete nonsense. We're supporting ISIS. Number three, all the refugees flowing into Europe are genuine refugees. Laugh, laugh, laugh. They're all fighting age men, most of them. The U.S. military intervention abroad makes us safer. That's complete nonsense. I mean, Ron Paul showed us that repeatedly. Number five, Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. What? What? Really? I'll tell you the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world is. It's our CIA. Number six, Russia is the biggest threat in the Western world is now saying. That's not even true. President Vladimir Putin keeps insisting that Russia does not view the U.S. as an enemy, that the two great nations are on the same side for both world wars, and that mutual cooperation is the only way forward. And basically, Israel is only defending itself. That is completely false. Israel attacked its neighbors even before it attained official statehood in 1948. Guys, this is some stuff you guys just need to, you need to just look this up. This is a really good article that was written by Freeman. and it's basically calls the seven pieces of modern day geopolitical propaganda. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you so much for getting your vitamins for us. Thank you so much for getting your multiple vitamins. I mean, thank you for being part of our team. Thank you for being a giver. I mean, a $25 bottle of multiple vitamins that you're getting from somebody else anyhow every month isn't going to change anybody's lifestyle, but these supplements can change your life. They're that good, and it'll keep our show on the air. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being here for us, and thank you so much for praying for us. And guys, if we ever use a word or say something you don't agree with, or we say something we shouldn't ought to say, please forgive us. We're not trying to be mean here. We're just trying to get things across in a way that people are going to listen and learn from it. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much again. Austin, you'll need to do the write-up today, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, we do appreciate all the support, guys. Thank you for all the emails we get. Thank you for all the, the business you guys are giving us and, you know, buying your multiples, as Dad said. We have the Doug 5 coupon for you guys that ends tonight, at midnight. That's the 5% off coupon. So if you guys want to use that on any non-sale items that doesn't include, you know, any 3-pack specials, any kits, stuff like that, any regular priced items, that'll give you 5% off everything, including the new Ultimate Multiple Chewable. And also, too, you can check out the product of the week, which won, today's Thursday, won yesterday, the Sublingual B12 Methylcobalamin. That's our fully methylated, naturally absorbing B12. Really helps out with energy, helps out with adrenal function, helps out with red blood cell count, helps out with the immune system. Just incredible product. 5,000 micrograms per tablet. So you can check that on the website, over 10% off on sale right now, and vote for the other products you want. There's a bunch of other products on there, very popular products that are up right now that you can vote on. So check those out, and let us know what you guys think. We love it when you guys vote on stuff because it gives us feedback on what you want to see on sale, and it gives you guys a voice in it. So whatever ends up winning is what goes on sale, and you guys said you want it on sale, so it goes on sale. We listen. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for all the support. If you need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. Also, you can visit the website at healthmasters.com and go on there and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Also, get you updates on the radio show. We'll send you links to stuff daily, what's going on with our show. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. We appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your business. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.